What's up, guys? This is Tyler Lawrence Gray, and you're listening to Wolfpack on Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. Not a Teen Wolf spinoff.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast. We are talking about Wolfpack Season 1, Episode 3, Origin Point today. My name's Karen, and I'm joined by Natalie. Hi, Natalie.
Hello.
How are you today? Yeah.
I'm good. I am fine. I went to a concert last night.
Ooh.
Of an artist that I have known, well, and liked and seen in concert for like 15 years.
Mm.
And it was great, but he played for 2 hours. And it was so long. And the last concert I went to was sitting down. This one wasn't. This was a rock concert. It was standing up.
Yeah.
I'm very old and tired, but it was good. It was good. It was cute. And yeah, that's about it. Still got lots of cats.
Yeah.
If anyone listening to this podcast lives in Sydney, Australia, and would like to adopt a rescue cat,
mm-hmm.
please contact me on Twitter because I have 8 of them to give away.
Wow.
Aside from my 3 that I own, but they're very cute. But
they are cute.
Yeah. Yeah. We couldn't have left them on the street, but
yeah,
but there's so many cats, Karen.
I have 1 cat, and that's sometimes too much for me. She likes
Maybe
to...
Maybe she needs a friend so that she will, like, occupy herself with her friend instead.
So am I going to fly to Australia for this kitten, or are you going to, like, airmail
I've got another...
Me?
The mother of the kittens is another little, like, tortoise shell.
Yeah.
Like, she kind of looks like her, so they could be, like... twins
or maybe. Worst enemies
or worst enemies like yeah. You know, kill your double. It's okay. Maybe you should get her a tortoise to play with.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know if she is aware that there's a leopard gecko in the house.
Would she eat it?
Probably not.
Because they're quite soft, like a gecko.
Yeah.
Like it's not like a though cats can probably eat a snake. I feel like she could eat it pretty easy if she got the chance.
Yeah, probably. She's also a little bit of a wuss. Like I don't know if she would be freaked out or intrigued, hungry or nervous.
Mm.
Unsure. Not gonna take that chance, but
do you hold the gecko? Does he come out or does he just
he does come out. He does come out when you're in the room at night mm-hmm. because they're nocturnal, and he kind of is like, oh, okay, like feed me. Like that's pretty much his main drive.
Uh-huh.
But right now, like, because we've been so busy moving into the house and, like, setting things up, and my boyfriend has a lot of house projects to do, he hasn't been handling Petey. That's his name, little Petey.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't been handling Petey as much, so kind of has to get back into the habit of doing that. But at some point, like, you know, he'll be able to, like, chill on his shoulder while he's playing video games and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're pretty docile.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's cute. Hopefully
yeah.
the cat does not have a war with the gecko in the future.
Hopefully not.
Nah.
But yeah, if you guys would like a kitten or if you want to share pictures of your pets with us, you can contact us on Twitter and Instagram at NATW Podcast. You can hit us up on Tumblr at noneanotherteenwolfpodcast.tumblr.com, or you can email us at NATWpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. You can. What kind of lizard could you get that would look a bit like the Canama? So you could have one called Jackson.
Ooh, interesting. Let's see, he's...
something scaly, not like a fuzzy one. Like not like yeah, it's not fuzzy, but it's got that like soft skin. Like
right.
You want like a
actual...
more like a hard one.
Mm. Probably like a monitor lizard. They have very long tails, and Jackson loves his tail. They're extremely smart. Not all of them make great pets. Some of them really do, but they are very, very intelligent creatures.
Well, Jackson's pretty spicy, so that kind of...
That does fit. So get yourself a monitor lizard and name it Jackson.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Okay, so there were no lizards in this episode of Wolfpack, but there were some monsters, which, you know, human and otherwise, which I'm excited to talk about. Wolfpack Season 1, Episode 3, Origin Point. The cold open of the episode sees four teenagers climbing up to an abandoned building just to, like, see the fire line. And one of those kids is, I think a couple of them are from the bus, but one of them is the one that Blake talked to, Phoebe. And we kind of get a little bit of a background on Blake in this scene because she says that Blake's parents got divorced last year and all of a sudden she's anti-technology and ditches all of her friends and kind of says, oh yeah, I think Blake's the arsonist. So she's obviously really hurt by Blake ditching her, but... You know, this tells us that the separation of the parents was very recent, which I was kind of surprised by.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was quite strange. All of those kids, you know, had a kind of bad attitude. I have no idea what kind of role that they're going to play later. Obviously, we've got Austin. He's back from his alleged experience. Mm-hmm. We've got a shy girl that I think they said was called Tia. We've got Phoebe, who's kind of a bitch, but yeah, maybe that's just the impression we're getting because she's bitter, but she's not very nice to the other people either.
No.
And then we've got a tall guy who I didn't get his name, but he is maybe someone Harlan likes. Like, I still can't tell. I don't think it was the guy from the gym. I'm really bad at faces for some reason.
So am I.
Like, I'm looking at him, I'm going, I mean, is this the same guy from the gym? Because he had such a different attitude. He was so mean in this scene, and he was, like, nice in the gym.
Also, was Austin with them? Because I definitely did not notice that.
He was one of the four boys. He was one of the four kids up the tower.
Okay.
Yeah. It was all pretty dark, but that kid's got something going on. Anyway, we'll come back to him. I can't identify whether the tall guy is meant to be the guy from the gym. I'm really going to have to go and compare them. This is pretty hopeless of me, but honestly, like, yeah, they're all up there. Phoebe and her issues with Blake obviously become, like, quite nasty throughout the episode. Like, did you like any of these people? Do you feel like that this group of kids is going to play a bigger role? Because they are in the trailer for, like, the whole series. Like, it does look like the group of kids is kind of a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know how to describe this because it's not like I like Phoebe because she's obviously a bitch.
Mean.
But she has a lot of personality. Like, she sticks out to me. And I just think the actress did, like, a really good job. And I'm very interested in this, like, whole connection with Harlan. And especially, like, her friendship or former friendship with Blake. Because Blake obviously kind of...
pissed her off.
Well, yeah. But also, Blake seems to be from a very different background. Like, Phoebe is a rich kid. Her dad's a lawyer, we find out later. And Blake, you know, they're struggling. Like, her dad can't even pay insurance on the house to keep it up. So the fact that they were friends at some point is very interesting. Not, you know, that's not like weird or like out of the norm, but it doesn't always happen that way. So I really want to know more of their backstory together as friends.
I'm sure that it will come because they are making kind of a big deal of it. But yeah, when they're looking at the fire and just like looking at what happened, it's kind of an intense scene to look out over the, you know, the hills surrounding LA and to see it all like that. I don't know if this is like a normal teenage behavior to go lurking, but
I feel like it is. That didn't surprise me at all. And I think that this first opening scene offered a lot of like tension too, because Phoebe's walking around all over the place and you think she's going to fall, or we see the monster creeping around below them and you think that like somebody's going to get snatched, and neither one of those things ends up happening, although the cops do show up. And this is our first introduction to Miller, which we'll definitely talk about later.
And the cops show up because the one of the girls has their location on her phone for her parents. Yeah. And I'm just like, oh, is that a thing? Like, if that had happened when I was in high school, I wasn't a particularly like bad kid. No one cared what I did anyway. But like, is that something kids have now? Their parents have their location tracking on their phone.
I'm sure. Like, yeah.
Something I've never thought about. I mean, I suspect at this point that one of these four is the arsonist. If in fact the fire was lit by a teenager as opposed to like lit by a monster or something supernatural, I suspect that this is like an important group of people who, yeah, might end up being in this extended monster biting circle, or that one of them is kind of a bit of a secret villain.
I'd be really interested if it was Phoebe. Because I feel like right now that's not really on my radar, like for her to be wrapped up in all of this, to have like a bit of a darker side. Like, obviously she is kind of mean, but to actually like be an arsonist and enjoy watching it. I mean, it would make sense them going up.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's one reason that I thought maybe it would be one of them, that they, you know, whoever encouraged them up there is because they want to admire the fire.
Yeah.
Maybe Austin may, like, I don't know. There's once again, Karen, this entire episode, like no real resolutions or answers are there for any of the questions that we have so far.
Yeah. But that being said, I do feel like it's still pushing the story along. And even though I probably have even more questions now, I have some separate theories, and it kind of lets us, it's giving us breadcrumbs worth of information, which at this point I kind of don't mind, because every time we get something that I'm like, oh, could this answer a question or could this lead somewhere else? I'm even more intrigued and even more like sucked into the story.
Yeah, it's just like there's a lot to keep in mind. I feel like the episode was really hectic. Like, it was really just a build of more and more and more things. Again, over quite a short period of time, like it's only been like a couple of days since the show began, basically. Right. And it's just still like snowballing, like, you know, like without like anything falling into place. So it's quite intense in terms of like following along.
Yeah. And I think that kind of escalates when we see that Blake, Everett, Harlan, and Luna are all being brought in for questioning in the same car. And we have Kristen Ramsey, Sarah Michelle Gellar in the front seat, front passenger seat. And we have Officer Jung, who is driving. And Everett is having a panic attack in the back, and he will not shut up. And I was so stressed out during the scene. I was like, stop talking, stop talking. And Blake ends up giving him like a little fidget toy, just like she would give to her brother. And it actually does like help calm him down.
Yeah, the whole thing with like the four of them, with, you know, Luna kind of being sympathetic, Blake kind of taking things into her own hand, Harlan just being like, what the fuck is wrong with him? And the officer being like, whispering is still talking, and like it was like a very the whole episode's like quite frantic, and this was especially kind of like, yeah, just very high pressure in a way. It was quite stressful.
Yeah. And the last time he banged on the cage in the car, it really scared me. Like, I jumped in my seat.
Yeah, Kristen, I can't work her out. Like, she's definitely, like, assessing every single thing she hears. I can't work out if she really has sympathy or if it's all, like, material to her, like if it's all, you know, evidence, I guess, or, like, assessment. Right. And, yeah, she's pretty locked up. You know, we do get a bit more from her later, but, and I do think that she's like a good person, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I might be so wrong. I want her to be a good person, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's watching them very closely, and you can tell that she's thinking a lot and kind of just like keeping it to herself. I think that's a good word for it, is assessing. Like, she's constantly assessing. But I also think she's a very empathetic character right now too, because especially when you put her up against the other police officers we see in this episode, because they were not nice, and she's definitely like the best out of all of them.
Yeah, I think that's definitely fair. out of every law enforcement person that we've met so far. I think that's fair.
And they arrive at this like displacement facility for like people who lost their homes. And Luna has another moment with a horse. It's not the white horse. It's one of the officer's horses.
And this is a real horse. So
yes,
not in a fantasy ghost spirit.
Right. But at the same time, the way that they cut back to the horse after she snapped out of this and it was completely calm made me think that maybe that was in her head.
I don't know, but this ongoing, like, I'm connected to this one animal for the spirit is getting very suspicious to me. Like, really quite suspicious.
In what way?
I don't know. Like,
you just know you should be suspicious.
Okay, so in my gut, it makes me feel like that a werewolfness is not actually the state of being that they have, and that she's actually some sort of, that's more, like I said, more like a spirit thing, and that she is like actually the like horse spirit of the forest or something. Like, that they're actually not werewolves, that they are something tapped into like a different animal spirit. I don't know. It's very confusing.
I mean, that would definitely be interesting. And, you know, now, next week, jumping ahead very far, next week, I think we'll get a little bit more information on that white horse. But it was very interesting here that it's not just that horse. Like, she kind of has this weird moment, whether or not it was in her head, with a completely real horse. And maybe, like, it was just freaking out because it could sense that she was a werewolf or something else. But it's definitely leading us down a road. I just don't know where that road is going yet.
Like I said, no answers. None. No answers. In terms of it being real, like if she really startled the horse and it settled back down, I don't know. I was looking at it. I was thinking, okay, this could be real, I guess, that the horse is acting up and then the police officer got it back under control.
Yeah.
It could be real, but it absolutely could be in her head as well.
Right. But when they arrive at that displacement facility, Harlan is walking around. He's being led, you know, all of them are being led by the police officers, and he kind of uses his power to hear snippets of conversation so that he has a better idea of what's going on. And like, this is so useful. And I feel like you can almost like, it's so useful to have this information. You can almost trick people into like thinking you're psychic or something.
Yeah. Out of all of their powers so far, because they do start talking about the powers later on, I do think Harlan's is the best, like, day to day. Like, I think it's like by far, like, running fast and being strong is cool. Smell is just weird. It is. But Luna is weird, so that's fine. Harlan's is definitely the most useful as like a human being existing in the world. And I think that, yeah, you could do a lot with it. I don't know what, you know, kind of things he might have done with it, except for like hooking up with DJs by seducing them by complimenting their sick beats. But I don't know. It's interesting, yeah, just to see that. It's, you know, one of the easiest powers for the show to kind of enact, like to give us like, hey, this is happening in a powered way, because like I said, the other three are not that convenient or not that easy to represent, but this one is like quite crucial.
Yeah, for sure. We also see Harlan really getting pushed around by the police, and it made me wonder if he has a previous record or if it just kind of looks like he's up to no good, because honestly, he kind of does look like he's up to no good, but they were really targeting him.
I have no idea. Maybe it's just, his attitude, you know, maybe he just gives off that kind of vibe of like, I hate you, authority.
Yeah.
We don't hear that he has a record. We just, just the fact that he's uncooperative and has a bad vibe, I guess. It could be any number of things. It really could be.
Yeah.
I really feel like it's pretty ugly, the behavior. I don't know if it's just the show deciding we want to show that we want to make this plot happen with the cop. Mm-hmm. And we need this guy to target one of the boys, because to be honest, they probably wouldn't do it to one of the girls.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
And doing it to Everett would just be not the same response, because Everett would just cave, you know?
Yeah.
So it might be like a process of elimination. Who can a cop abuse? But I guess there could be a backstory as well.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes. But speaking of backstory, Blake gets to talk to Phoebe, goes right up to her and asks, like, you know, what she talked about and stuff. And Phoebe has no problem saying that she thought Blake was the arsonist and she told them so. And she kind of...
Wow.
Yeah.
Teenagers are so...
They're mean.
Like, yeah, sometimes I think about things on, like, teenage shows or, like, even in real life. The stuff teenagers say about each other or will, like, have no, like, second thoughts about doing to each other is so insane sometimes. Like, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, like, just no ethics. And I don't think it's unrealistic, like, because I think they have no processing skills.
Yeah.
But it's terrible. It's freaking terrible. Yeah. But, yeah, do you think that her saying, oh, I think it was Blake, is, like, something that would make Kristen or the cops discount Blake or be like, oh, we should pay attention to this girl? Or would they know kind of teenage behaviors enough to be like, oh, that Phoebe girl's just being a bitch? Like,
yeah,
I feel like that would be pretty easy to judge, you know?
I feel like Kristen is smart enough to keep Blake on her radar because Phoebe pointed in her direction, but also to keep looking at the evidence and not just taking Phoebe at her word, yes. Unlike some of the other cops where I think they would like jump at the chance to arrest somebody for being the arsonist without really looking like into
some
it more.
Bitchy teenage girls,
yeah,
that it was yeah, I mean, cops have done more for less, you know.
That's true. Yeah. And also with Phoebe, she asks Harlan if he's stolen anyone's boyfriend lately, and he says, just yours, and she flips him off. We get more on this later, but this is kind of the part where I was like, I don't know, like, the fact that she's familiar with Harlan and probably Luna too, that she used to be friends with Blake. She's got a strong personality. She's not stupid, you know, like, she must be at least a little bit popular. She's, you know, a rich kid. I just feel like there's a lot to her story so far. And I think either, yeah, she's either going to be the arsonist or she's probably going to die. Like,
yeah,
I'm not really sure what other purpose she's really going to serve. Cause she's not like a main character in the way that some of the other people are. So I don't know that she's necessarily going to be there every step of the way, but she definitely has a purpose on the show.
Yeah, they're really building up this group of other teenagers, and she's certainly one of the big ones.
Mm-hmm.
With Harlan, I couldn't work out whether the boyfriend that she's met, he's meant to have stolen, is the gay guy that was with them at the building site when they climbed, like the one that he was kind of having gripes with, like if they're exes or if it's another guy. It could be.
Yeah, that's a good question.
But yeah. There's clearly quite a specific, I guess, relationship map that the team making the show has put together for all of the characters that we're not really seeing yet, but they know how all of these people are related. Not literally. You know, all of these people are engaging, what the dynamic is between all of these people, and that kind of fed all of those little moments in the pilot on the bus. And you know, I'm sure that if we're getting this much in episode 3, we're going to get more and more. But, yeah, it's just in general one of those shows where they're just not explaining a lot. Like, they're just, like, showing you a dynamic and they're not giving you a lot of exposition about it, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you like that or do you not like that?
Honestly, I mean, like might be too strong of a word because it's obviously, like, a little frustrating to wait – what, how many episodes are there? 8, 10? Like,
eight.
You know, yeah, like 2 months to be able to get all of this. But I like digging in and analyzing it and trying to figure it out. So the fact that it's kind of unfolding slowly, like, I think the show still has a really good pace and enough happens in each episode, both in terms of like the emotional relationships between the characters and the action with the plot, that it feels really well balanced. So even though I'm frustrated that I don't have all the answers, because I want all the answers right now, it's entertaining enough to like keep me watching.
Yeah, it's certainly a bit of a risk, not a risk, but like in a show that's not being dropped as a binge.
Yeah.
and it's not giving you any real satisfaction episode by episode. It's really angling to engage people for the long haul. Like it's put all their eggs in the basket of wanting people to engage without making it particularly easy, if you know what I mean. Like easy as in like episodic satisfaction.
Right.
It's quite a swing. Like it's quite a leap of faith or commitment to be like, how are we going to do it? This brand new property that no one knows about is we're gonna try and hook people and keep them hooked with a mystery and hope that the character dynamics are strong enough that people keep tuning in to find out what the hell is going on.
Yeah.
So
in that sense, I'm almost surprised that it's not a binge, because I feel like this is the kind of story where people will want to get through it quickly in order to figure out what happens. Like, you're right, they took a bit of a risk streaming it and giving it an episodic release, because some people might get bored, some people might get frustrated and wait until it's all out before they watch it or something like that. But I think for the people who like unraveling those mysteries, you know, we talked about like the title credits and the song and everything, like it gives that slow mystery drama kind of vibe to it. And I think the people who enjoy those kind of shows are going to find a lot to sink their teeth into in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. We also see Everett talking to Austin and basically asking him like, hey, did you see anything on the highway? And Austin is like, no. And like, he immediately brushes him off and kind of walks away. And then we also get Luna's heart racing. Harlan picks up on it, and Harlan assumes that it's because she has a crush on Austin, which is possible, but I also think there's a huge possibility that maybe something else is going on here.
Yeah, it's definitely played like, you know, he's like, oh, that guy, seriously?
If she is the one that bit them, then she might be worried that Austin did see something. So this could be nerves over that.
Yeah, or that she bit Austin and it hasn't taken, and she knows who she bit, maybe, and she, if it was her, she knows who she bit, and she knows she dragged Austin away and is waiting for him to say something.
Yeah.
I think that's plausible.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm, you know, because we did see a blonde on the highway biting somebody, whether or not it was her, we still don't know, but
could have been Kristen. Could have been Kristen.
Maybe, but that's definitely still
mommy.
Enough.
I'm sure. I have a gut feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be super interesting. But then these four are about to get hauled off to be interrogated, and Harlan tells them they need an alibi, and he basically decides on them smoking weed in the woods, which honestly is probably a pretty good excuse.
Mm-hmm. And he spells out why it's good. It's like, because it's illegal, like you're admitting to something you're not meant to be doing.
Yeah.
Therefore, like your stress response is like real and all of that. Everett's like, I can't do that. I'm too anxious. Which is fine.
Yeah. Harlan is pretty crafty, though. I find that very interesting. Like, he's pretty good under pressure.
I'm sure he's gotten away with a lot of things.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah, the fact that Everett was like, I haven't smoked weed, I've only taken an edible and it was bad. And Harlan's like, oh, you're that guy.
Yeah. Well,
it's a bit mean, but, you know, what can you do?
Man, I'm
curious to see when these two are going to click, like what they'll actually bond over, the two boys, because it really could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that because I love Everett. I have such a soft spot for him. I relate to him a lot, unfortunately. You guys can take that as you want, but I'm very, like, I have a very strong emotional attachment to him already. And I would love to see Harlan take on like almost a big brother role with him, even if it's still antagonistic. Well, you know, I think that would still be fun, but for them to actually bond over like how strong Everett is or something, like I could feel Harlan being kind of impressed by that.
Yeah, that would be funny. So, I was like helping him with his confidence, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Everett could probably learn a lot from Harlan. And Harlan could maybe learn to calm down a little bit.
Well, yeah, be open with his emotions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so in the interrogation, Kristen sits down with Everett first and asks him about Connor, because in the last episode, we see that Everett found the cast and they know, you know, they can kind of tell that Connor ripped it off his own leg. And they're like, Connor's missing now. And he's worried about his friend, but also is trying to kind of steer clear of looking suspicious in like whatever way possible. So the conversation does swing back to them being in the woods. And this is when Everett lies and says that they were smoking, but then he kind of trips up by saying he took an edible.
And he said he smoked an edible.
Yeah, basically. Then, yeah. And Harlan is so frustrated in the other room because he can hear him because of his advanced hearing. And Harlan's so frustrated and basically just blurts out like what to say. And
like, he's like, just say this. Like, yeah. As in the way that, you know, you might yell at the TV or just like in frustration. It was a realistic moment to me of him being like, fucking hell.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And Everett ends up hearing him. And then we kind of go into this montage of like, all four kids can hear each other. And we don't get this information until later, but Harlan does say that it was like they were sharing his power. So what did you make of that?
Well, I actually didn't get that it was them sharing physical hearing. I thought maybe they had just all become psychic. Mm. And then I realized later that that's not what it was. Like, I was like, why are you speaking out loud? And then as if you can do it in your head. But then I realized that they're all sharing Harlan's power. Which makes a lot more sense than them being psychic, but werewolf packs also could be psychic, so who knows, you know? Yeah. Like, it was convenient. It was a good moment to show that coming into play. I was really stuck on the earlier moment when Everett was being, like, kind of a lawyer, and they're like, how about we just call your parents? And he was like, I'll take the lawyer, because he got really freaked about the idea of them calling in his mother. The psychic moment of everyone kicking in, Luna once again just looked like so thrilled. The fact that she looks so, I keep wanting to say like horny over this, like, but she literally looks like breathless with desire over everything that's happening with the pack. And that more than anything makes me think that she's the one that bit them. Like that she's just so wanting of this. Mm-hmm. And she's so, just breathless with joy and that it is working, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like if she did that and she kept that from Harlan, shit's gonna go down.
He's gonna be so mad at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Garrett will be too. That's gonna be huge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously, Everett kind of does end up getting away with the lie. And Kristen, you know, she might have bought the lie, but she also, like you said, is like analyzing everything Everett says, everything that he does. And she talks to him about his anxiety and she says, I go to a therapist too. I have anxiety too. And talks about how anxiety is a threat response and that it's kind of ingrained in some of us and that it's worse at night because you're afraid that a saber-toothed tiger is going to come eat you in your cave and our brains haven't quite realized that a saber-toothed tiger hasn't, you know, existed in 10,000 years.
And it's really, really wild, but it is actually true in a lot of senses that there's a lot of human responses that are like hereditary in a way that is irrelevant. A lot of food responses, a lot of people's, like when children are picky eaters, right? If they're quite picky, there's been research done that it is like a poison response, as in like they don't know that food is safe because of like berries from the caveman era.
Right.
As in, like, they have to be okay. That, like, the one of the only reasons that they become okay with it is like seeing people that they trust eat like safe food themselves and it not being made a fuss of.
Right.
That people's automatic, like, I can't eat that response is like food fear is from really primal fear of poisoning. Mm. It's quite crazy.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
And I really liked, like, I loved this scene. As somebody who has fairly severe anxiety, like, this scene spoke to me. I think that this is kind of where I was talking about, where Kristen is, like, so empathetic. Like, she doesn't try to really, like, rile up Everett. She doesn't try to use his anxiety to her advantage. But she does kind of spin it in a, like, so what keeps you up at night? Like, see, she is so good at her job.
Yeah, what I felt about her talking about him having anxiety was that she was kind of letting him off the hook in a way. Not exactly off the hook, but, like, she was saying, well, you've got really bad anxiety, don't you? As in, like, I understand that you're fumbling your words, or I understand that you're kind of making this mistake in the story. This isn't, she's kind of saying, I'm not saying that you're guilty, but I see how your anxiety is affecting you in a high pressure situation. Like, she's not saying your anxiety is a sign of your guilt.
Right.
She's saying, I see that you're a mess right now because of your anxiety, which I thought was quite good.
Yeah. I think this was probably my favorite scene of the episode, and it really, again, makes me more curious about her. Like, she's obviously been doing this for a while. She's an expert. She knows, like we were talking about last week, she knows how to manipulate people, but she has stayed empathetic in a way that the other officers aren't. And we get a really good juxtaposition of this because Officer Miller sees Harlan leaning up against the wall, you know, looking like he's trying to listen to the next room, and ends up pushing him around and kind of making him, you know, he's like, oh, you just assaulted an officer, and then tries to arrest him. Which, before we get to, like, the conclusion of that, like, Officer Miller, I guess we will be talking about him later, but, like,
yeah,
he's good at radiating this, like, anger and just, like, a not good dude.
It was very, very targeted and disturbing, to be honest. Really weird. Like, he really wanted to mess around like that. Like, he really wanted to fuck shit off, basically. Yeah. It was really, if there is a prior motive, I don't know. But maybe he's just the kind of cop who became a cop because he wants to be aggro at people, and he just wanted to pick on someone.
And, I mean, if that's the case, then obviously, like, they're doing a good job of portraying that because he's pretty awful. But luckily for Harlan, Garrett comes in to save the day. He checked himself out of the hospital. He's still got red eyes. He's still covered in soot. Like, he looks like he's not quite – he coughs a lot later in the episode. Like, he doesn't look like he's quite all – they're strong and like he usually is, but he comes to his kid's aid as quickly as possible, and I was so relieved to see him.
Yeah, it was a great opening moment for him to actually come back into the, you know, the main action, I guess, like, for him to enter at that point, especially as we've, like, all we've seen so far really is the kids being kind of grumbly about him and stuff. And him coming in being so protective and nice. It's good.
Yeah. Miller doesn't quite get off the hook, which is a good thing. Like, he's pretty much just being a dick and, you know, is like, why aren't we arresting them? Like, they're suspicious, blah, blah, blah. And Kristen, very kindly, in my opinion, warns him that if he pushes the kids around again, he's off the task force. And I really appreciated this out of her because, one, it does derail the investigation a little bit, but also, like, she's not turning a blind eye to it. Like, she understands what kind of cop he is, and she's not going to let him get away with it.
Yeah.
What surprised me more in this scene was that Officer Jung diffuses the situation, which surprised me because he's definitely not nice. Like, he might be not quite as bad as Miller, but he is definitely the bad cop in the good cop, bad cop scenario. And it almost felt like he was a little bit on Kristen's side, maybe. Did you get that vibe?
Yeah, because I don't think he's a bad cop. I think that he's hard ass, and I think that it's like an act between them. Like, or maybe not, maybe they haven't worked together that much before, but I think that he has a harsh attitude, but he's a good person. I think that he is, you know, I think that, yeah, him and Kristen have slipped into a good cop, bad cop situation in how they're working as partners, but that he is ethically correct.
Mm.
And that he is, you know, he might be a bit like impatient and he might not like kids that much, but he's not evil. Yeah, I think that he is actually a good guy and that we might get like a really nice moment with him later, actually.
I would love to see that. I would really be down for seeing him kind of flip the script on that and be like, no, you know, like, I want to help you. Come follow me. I'll keep you safe.
Yeah, people can be kind and not nice.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really big thing that people need to kind of keep in mind.
Yeah.
And I think that he's probably decent. And is that, you know, he may be like, shut the fuck up to the kids in the car, but he's not okay with Miller. Like, he's not closer to Miller than he is to Kristen in terms of like where he would sit on the scale of, right, of behavior.
Yeah. Let's hope so. We also get a moment with Phoebe alone. Her dad's a lawyer, so they basically let her off the hook and she gets out early. She heads to her car. And this is where we learn, like, she's definitely got this rich girl attitude. She's in high school and she has a BMW, like a really nice car. And she goes out to find that somebody slashed one of her tires. And she's on the phone with her dad. And then we don't see who's doing it, but all three of her other tires end up getting slashed while she's in the car and on the phone with her dad. And this was very suspenseful. Like, every time she opened the door and looked out, I'm like, what are you doing? Somebody's going to take your head off.
She's quite stupid.
Yeah. I mean, do we think that this was the monster werewolf? Do we think it was something else? Why are they targeting her specifically?
Either because she was mean to the kids.
Mm.
Or because she set the fire and the werewolf doesn't light the fire, maybe.
True.
Or just, you know, general headfuckery. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Yeah, it could just be incidental, not targeted. But I don't know. Probably is targeted, though. Do you have any theories about it?
I mean, I thought it was the werewolf monster thing when this was happening, because that's really our only explanation to fall back on. And if, you know, if Kristen is something else involved in this, like, she was inside the whole time. Like, we're pretty sure, like, there were eyes on her. I mean, we don't know that 100%, but it kind of stands to reason that she was involved in investigating and talking to people while this was going on. So is it the werewolf? Probably. Why was the werewolf targeting Phoebe? Don't really know, other than, yeah, maybe because she said something bad about Blake. He's like, yeah, you're not going to get away with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think that, like, someone in that group of kids maybe is involved in some element of this. Like, mm-hmm. you know, the werewolf knows. The werewolf was overhearing stuff on the being set on the tower.
Right.
It heard all of that, and like when it was crawling around underneath or whatever that monster is, you know, certainly werewolf-like. So something it heard there, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would make
about
sense.
About Blake, or like, you know, yeah, just about her being a bitch.
Yeah. This is the last time we see Phoebe in this episode, but it's not the last time we hear from her. So we'll get to that in a second. But Garrett takes everyone back to his house. All four kids go back to his house. And when they're in the car on the way there, Everett is basically spilling the beans on everything. And
oh my God,
sounds
so much.
So relieved to be able
He's
to
like
talk
an adult.
And just like somebody who's listening to him and who believes him, who isn't afraid of saying the word werewolf, who like is taking him seriously, because Harlan doesn't want to talk about it and isn't letting Luna talk about it. And Blake doesn't want to talk about it. So the fact that Everett gets to talk to Garrett, I just thought
this
was
his new best friend, Garrett.
Yeah, I just thought this was so wholesome.
Yeah. Luna telling Garrett in the cop station or wherever it was, the task force area, when he's like, I'm taking my kids home, and Luna's like, you have to get them out too. Yeah. We don't really see how he got the other two out, but he takes that in stride. He's quite shocked, but he's like, okay, guess these are also my children now. Yeah. And he gets them out. Everett with Garrett could be very interesting, especially given the very end of the episode, which we'll get to. If Garrett's relationship with his own children breaks down, I wonder if Everett might still keep coming to him.
That could be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get there, because that was very, very stressful.
It was. And Garrett kind of has his own story to tell, too. He says that something came after him in the woods. And, of course, we saw, like, what happened to his truck, which, like, his truck was attacked and he just hightailed it out of there. And Harlan asks him, hey, was it our real father? And Garrett...
Why is it? It's such a weird assumption. We're just really sticking with this whole father thing. Yeah.
And Garrett doesn't answer him.
How would Garrett know?
I know. I mean, unless, like, he's gotten a clue over the years, or maybe Harlan thinks that Garrett saw something when they were kids/puppies.
Yeah.
Such a weird thing to say. When they were kid puppies.
Yeah.
Puppy kids.
Oh, puppy kids.
So cute. And then they arrive back at the house, and he asks to talk to Harlan and Luna alone, and they kind of go into his office. And this gave us, like, I was talking about breadcrumbs before. This gave us a couple more breadcrumbs that I thought was so interesting. Luna specifically says that nothing happens to them on the full moon. And Harlan made it sound like it was ridiculous that they would actually turn into the kinds of werewolves that you see on TV.
Like a full wolf body thing.
Isn't that interesting? So that means that they don't turn into werewolves, and it sounds like they don't even turn into wolves.
I guess that they must know about being the puppies. I don't know, like, because why do they think they are werewolves as opposed to just people who have a bit of a hearing, nosing?
Yeah.
You know, do they know they can get a bit of claw and fang? Like, why do they think they're werewolves unless they know about the transformation when they were babies?
Right. And we've seen Luna with fangs when that horse attacked. Like, she definitely, like, growled at it and had fangs. And their eyes have changed color. So they're capable of, like, physically changing, but clearly it's not like a full wolf out like you would have seen on Teen Wolf.
Yeah. I guess there must be things over the years that have brought this together.
Yeah.
But yeah, they do definitely think that it's, like, less of a big thing than apparently it is. Like, the level of werewolfdom that is currently going on, they're like, this isn't real. The fact that they're disbelieving about it, even though they've had their little bits and pieces, was interesting to me.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that's kind of an interesting angle for the show to take, because that means that, unlike Scott, who had to struggle, especially in the beginning, every full moon had, you know, some of them have to get chained up. Like, look how much Malia struggled in Teen Wolf. They clearly doesn't look like they've really had to do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess you're just doing the best you can, right? Like, you live in this family with this dad who kind of knows what's going on with you, but not exactly. And I guess you just have to, like, take it as it comes.
Right.
It's a bit, yeah, it just, they're all a bit naive about it, which I don't think is unrealistic.
Yeah.
You know, given that they don't know other werewolves, Garrett doesn't know shit. He's clearly done a bunch of research because he's got, like, a photo on the wall of, like, a historical wolf drawing and stuff. Garrett's probably been, like, doing as much research as he can but not really know anything because of especially what we see later. Yeah, they just don't have a lot to go on. And I guess their control has never been a problem.
Yeah, apparently
it's just not that strong. Like, nothing that happened to them has been that strong and overpowering.
Yeah, I find that so interesting. But, I mean, Garrett also does mention that he found them on the full moon. So clearly the full moon does have something to do. And they've talked about, like, their powers getting stronger around the full moon and stuff. But, like, just the physical changes they haven't ever really had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And now that they're a pack, Garrett's worried that they might start hunting.
Yes, they go on about that, you know, yeah, going and killing things in the, you know, the woods, you know, because when Harlan is talking about, like, what you think, we're going to go out there and, like, chase down deer, like, just the ridiculousness of it. But Garrett does seem to take it quite seriously that they could become violent, I guess, or threatening. And it was, you know, how we said when we analyzed the trailer, like, you know, we've never killed anything before. You've never had a pack before. We thought maybe that was cut out of context. It wasn't.
No.
At all. Like, that's literally how it went. Mm-hmm. As in, he thinks that them having this pack will make them maybe more animalistic.
Yeah. And considering that their powers have already grown so much that they're able to share Harlan's hearing, this is not out of the question. I think that this is, you know, it could... And I kind of wonder, this kind of segues into my next point, which is that Blake has another daydream about making out with Everett. There seems to be like a very high sexual aspect to this, at least between, I would say at least between Everett and Blake, but we've also seen Harlan kind of dealing with those visions of the kid at the gym and kind of fearing losing control. There's a sexual element to them being werewolves and the full moon and the fact that they're a pack now, that maybe if those hormones or whatever is kind of, you know, bubbling up in their body at this point could express itself in like bloodlust or something like that. Like, that's not out of the question to me at this point.
Yeah, the Blake towards Everett fantasies are like coming thick and fast now. Like, it's like, and she still hasn't said anything to him about it, I assume. And in the last episode, when I was like, do you think that he knows that they're in bed together? Like, is it shared fantasy?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think these ones were.
So I don't know if they're shared fantasy, but later it does seem like Everett also had a fantasy.
Yeah, I don't know. It's definitely, you know, going to have to come into reality at some point, I assume.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, but it is very intense.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Blake kind of keeps just shrugging it off. Like you said, she doesn't say anything. And they start to talk about whether or not they're going to stay at Garrett's house. And surprisingly, Blake says that she wants to stay because she doesn't want Danny to get hurt. And she thinks maybe the phone call at the motel was warning her family, not her.
Yeah, I got this and I was like, oh, wow, that could be true, possibly. Yeah, and then maybe the hospital call was like meant for someone else, like, or I don't know. I think maybe it was for them. Maybe this is a misdirection, but she said that and it made sense to me that she would think that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I almost wonder if there is something coming after them, I think it would still work because the person on the phone could be saying, get out of the hospital or all these other people are going to die. But maybe they just kind of figured, okay, their self-preservation is going to be higher, so I can't be direct and tell them, like, you might hurt somebody or this other thing might hurt people when it's coming after you. They're trying to remove that those kids from an environment where they could possibly kill more people.
Yeah. I still think there's got to be more than one thing at play, possibly two. Possibly three.
Yeah.
Possibly three different parties at play here, but I don't know.
Yeah. Garrett ends up leaving to go check on Phoebe because Phoebe calls Harlan since Blake doesn't have a phone. And she's freaking out. She thinks that it was Blake who slashed her tires.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which to me doesn't really make sense because like somebody was.
She just hates her. She's just got an agenda. She's just got an agenda. Yeah.
So, and here we learn that Harlan, because he knows Phoebe's address, Harlan slept with her boyfriend in her own house.
It was probably at like a party or something, not just like snuck in to get there. But yeah, it's pretty bad.
And I mean, he does not seem sorry about it. He seems a little pleased with himself, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I mean, Phoebe's not very nice. So, what are you going to do? But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I still want more backstory on this. But I think the more shocking part was like, Garrett doesn't say anything. Like, he doesn't react to this information at all.
Yeah, and I like that. Was it Blake that was like, he said, don't ask or whatever. Like, that little level of support there of like, you don't want to know. And her being like, he said, you don't want to know. It was just, it was very blunt and very funny to me.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to see Harlan one-on-one with Blake and one-on-one with Everett, discovering a kind of strange friendship. So I do feel like it's going to end up being those three against Luna. I think Luna's going to go fucking crazy, to be honest. So I could be wrong, but I have a feeling.
Yeah, that would be very interesting.
Yeah.
I would be interested in seeing that.
But yeah, so he has to go, you know, because he says, you know, Garrett, he's very matter of fact with the kids. He really treats them all like other adults, you know, including his own kids, in kind of a nice way. You know, I think they're all practical. They're all in on this secret together. But he says, you know, I'll take you any home, anywhere you want to go. Then he has to go to Phoebe and he says, just tell your parents you're staying with us tonight because I have to go and check on her. And they're both like, no, I can't. I got to, you know, I have to check, you know, Everett's like, I'm grounded or whatever. And he's like, okay, 20 minutes, I'll be back. I'll be back and take you home.
Yeah.
There's something about his dynamic with the kids that it's just, you know, I just love it. Like, I just think that he's just such a good character.
Yeah.
You know, he's very out of his depth, but he's very out of his depth. But what else can you do, you know?
Yeah, I think that there's clearly a lot of love there. There's a lot of just rolling with the punches, which can't be easy when your kids are werewolves. And I think that he treats them like adults. Like, he's stern with them. And I'm sure that especially with Harlan, like, he's had trouble with him and has had to, like, lay down the law a few times, but he still treats them like they're capable people, not like they're useless children.
Yeah, I think that dynamic, and then the dynamic he extends to Everett and Blake, you know, I think that he could be such a good person for both of them as well. So I really hope that things work out with him.
So do I. I really like him so far. But he does leave and the kids are home alone and Officer Miller shows up.
Oh, and why? Just to fuck around.
Oh yeah, because he's pissed. He's mad.
He's just there to get angry at Harlan for showing him up.
Yeah. Which is like, and for getting him in trouble. That's a
weird kind of targeted abuse that really shouldn't be.
And I mean, this,
okay,
you know,
with a cop.
He's 18. He's legally an adult, but like, he's a kid. Like, Miller's probably twice his age, if not more. And clearly, you know, is in a position of power. The fact that he feels a need to like seek him out,
show up at his house and threaten him is like mental.
Yeah. And I thought it was so interesting that, you know, we were talking about Luna's power being kind of silly. It does have its uses, although I did find it funny that, like, I think it was Blake who was like, ew, gross. Like,
when like they're talking about, like, she can run fast, you're really strong.
Yeah.
And then they're like, what's yours? And like, smell. And they're like, ew.
Yeah. That was really funny.
Yeah.
But she, both, all of them can smell Miller's anger, and it smells like acid. And I could see this honestly being kind of useful, especially for if you can distinguish people's emotions and kind of what they smell like, you can get a sense of how they're feeling, what might happen next.
Yeah it's very disturbing the way that he tries to come inside the house and they're like, he can't come outside the house, he's, you know, a house like that, like, you don't have to let him in. And then him being like, you should come outside and talk. And Harlan does look a bit lost. Like, you know, for all that he's very cocky, he looks very, very stressed that this is happening to him, you know. And, of course, he would be, because it's a freaking psychopathic thing to happen.
Yeah, I completely agree. There was, like, a funny line in the middle of this, though, because Everett just turns to Blake and says, you said werewolf.
Yeah. When they're talking about, like, the practicalities of it all, and he's just so, like... It was very funny.
It was. Like, I think that this show chooses very specifically when to lob some humor at us. And I find that, like, refreshing, because it's not, like, there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of suspense, there's a lot of action and mystery. And I think that the funny lines land a little harder when they come so few and far between.
Yeah, and it's not like, oh, I'm a funny, wisecracking character. It's like us laughing at a situation, which is quite a natural situation. Like Blake not being fast running around the hotel, or in this case, in the midst of everything. Everett being distracted by the fact that Blake finally admitted the werewolf thing.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, that the humor feels very natural and realistic to me. They're not going for punchlines. They're not setting up a joke and then giving you the funny, you know, answer to it. It's the kind of humor where you like need it to diffuse the tension in the episode. Both the characters need it and the audience needs it. So it feels very purposeful.
Yeah, it's not them being like wisecracking, like two people being really witty to each other or anything like that. It's kind of awkward, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. But Everett and Blake have to go hide, and I feel like he was the one to have the sexy daydream this time. Because he seemed a little like out of breath and like shocked when she talked to him.
I'd have to look at it again. I did think it was Blake again, but if it was him, I don't know where this is going to escalate, basically.
Yeah. And then, of course, Harlan goes outside and Miller assaults him. I mean, trying to get him to admit to setting the fire. He's shoving him up against the wall of the house, the outside of the house, really pressing his face into the side of the house. Like, it's causing Harlan distress. And I agree with you. Like, Harlan,
you shouldn't have gone outside.
No, I mean, that was really stupid. He didn't have to talk to them at all. Like, he could have just said, nope, we're not talking to you. Go away, and waited for his dad to come home. But clearly, like, this was a more exciting thing to happen in the episode. But Harlan seems scared in this moment, and I think this is the first time, other than like the gym, where we've gotten this like vulnerability of like kind of who he is under the surface of all that cockiness.
Yeah, I also don't think Miller really thought Harlan lit the fire. He just wanted to get some sort of pride vengeance.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true.
It's a really crazy assault. Like, you know, and they said earlier, you know, to Miller, like, we're going to have a conversation about assault because, but Miller, he just wants to keep on assaulting, I guess.
Yeah, he's big on the assault, unfortunately. Yeah,
we needed to get him out here so he could get eaten.
Yeah, so the monster could totally take him out. And as soon as this happened, I was like, oh, I see where this is going. And we could talk about it at the end. Because we get a little bit more with this. But Garrett ends up turning around because Luna called him. He's on the phone. He knows what's going on. Garrett turns around and tells Harlan, who escaped, to get the rifle in the shed. So the two of them go into the shed to get the rifle, and Luna sees the big white horse again.
Yeah, and he specifies it's not the normal rifle that we keep in the gun safe in the office. There is another rifle in the storage cupboard in the stables. And they're like, what? But they go to get it, and then Luna gets her horse again.
Yeah. So do you have, like, is your theory still standing? Did this, like, shine any more light on?
No, I really, the horse thing, I don't know. In the Harlan's and Luna's house, like in Garrett's house, there's a statue of a bighorn sheep, like the one Everett saw that Garrett has. It could just be that Garrett loves all of the animals of the forest that he protects, and so his house is decorated with like memorabilia from the forest. Like he's got wolf paintings, he's got a statue of a bighorn. It could just be like, oh, this is I love this environment, so this is what I decorate with. But I don't know. The horse and Luna, I think that she is maybe the horse is the forest spirit and it's scaring Luna because Luna did a naughty thing by biting people.
Mm.
I do not know, but there is something going on. And clearly it's a big deal. And clearly she hasn't said to everyone, hey, this horse keeps coming at me.
Yeah.
But yeah, the werewolf situation is quite intense when they're going out to get the gun. You know, very brave of them when they think that something is out there, because they are able to hear or smell or whatever, that something is out there that's not just the cop. They're aware that this monster is there. they're aware that, you know, it's all of this stuff. And yeah, these poor kids. So stressful.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, that was scary. It wasn't, it's not like the shed thing was like that far from the house, but it was very scary to send them out there because we really didn't know what's going on. But it does allow the show to separate Harlan and Luna from Everett and Blake. And Everett ends up getting a phone call. And the voice on the phone, which is the same voice that we've been hearing, says, don't leave the house. It's almost safe.
And they talk about the moon, like the specifics, like the moon is like waning now, like it's over the peak of being full. Like, so this is like very specific instructions.
Right. And this is where I really started to think that the monster was protecting them.
Mm-hmm. And or the, at least the voice on the phone.
Right.
Because the monster is out there right now. Is he also on his phone? Like, has he got a little cell phone in his well pants? So that's, like, you I mean, know, that's like
the thing. Because I was like, okay, this voice is being modulated somehow. I kind of wonder if, like, could it be the monster on his little werewolf phone? Like, we don't know. But I started to just like put two and two together in terms of like, it's so interesting that the werewolf,
like, he's interrupting attacked himself.
Yeah.
Crushing this guy's head. Maybe. To like pick up his phone.
Yeah.
And call Everett.
Where does he keep it? Like, does he have
in his,
little,
in
like,
his little werewolf pants? Like, you know, I don't know.
Pocket? Does
Do
they come with a pouch? Is he wearing a fanny pack? I don't know.
Yeah, look, maybe it's not the same guy. Or
maybe.
Girl,
yeah.
Or thing, but it is suspicious.
Yeah. Yeah, and it started to raise some very interesting questions in my mind at this point. But we also find out that the cop is still alive, but then the werewolf totally drags him off. And then he shoves him against the tree and pushes his head into the tree like he was doing to Harlan. So this is retribution. Like, in my head, this is a very clear one-to-one, like, he is doing this because this guy did this to Harlan, except he has giant claws that end up going through the guy's head.
Yeah. Or she.
Right, right.
So, yeah. So there is at least one monster, one werewolf-type monster, that is on the side of the children.
Right.
There may be another monster who is not. Or it could be that the monster didn't know what was what and thought that certain people were a threat, like Garrett and stuff like that, and then realized who the actual people that it supports.
Right. Maybe still doesn't like Garrett because Garrett's their father and isn't technically part of the pack.
You'd think he'd be a bit grateful.
You would think, but I'm not sure. And then Blake decides, oh, I'm going to pick this time to leave the house because all of a sudden, like, I mean, I kind of get her reasoning. She's like, we're not safe inside either. Like, this thing can bust down the wall. And I was like, you're right. But also, I still wouldn't go outside. But she does.
I guess if she can run fast, maybe she wants to run away. But yeah.
Yeah. Although that's not going to do any good for for Everett, but
no.
He does end up following her outside, and there's a very tense moment where they turn around. I feel like this stretched on forever because I was so scared, but the monster comes right up to Everett and sniffs him, I guess.
Sniffs him up and down.
Yeah, but doesn't kill him, doesn't attack him. And Harlan shoots at it. We don't know if the bullet hit the werewolf or not, but Harlan shoots at it and it runs away. And Luna thinks that it didn't want to kill them because it's a part of, because they're a part of its pack now.
Yeah, they talk about, you know, why did it come after us at Blake's house and not now? And it could be that realization of like, well, thought you were a threat, but now you're not. Or it could be that, like we said, like maybe the bite doesn't take on everyone and like could be that these are some rancid, corruptly bitten people like Connor, or it could be that these are my new children.
Right.
You know, they talk earlier about, you know, when they talked to Garrett about everything that happened when they were together, they shared the powers, they had their eyes glowing, we're all a pack, la, 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 la. Luna's real committed to this bit. You know, she's really committed to this bit, as we knew even before the show started that she would be.
Yeah.
Because she's got some very strong ideas about what's going on here.
And Harlan's over it. Like, every time she brings it up, he's like,
she's like, oh, shut up about the pack.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's, you're right. Like, being horny for a pack, like, I don't know how else to describe it. She's desperate. Mm-hmm. She's hungry. Like, this is something that she wants with, like, every fiber of her being. And as weird as, like, Luna is, like, I do really like her. I like that she's kind of an open, genuine person. Like, she's not really afraid to be herself. She's not afraid to embrace the weirdness of everything. And I mean, one side of me is like, don't let her be the bad guy, because I kind of like her. And the other side is like, but it would be so interesting if she was.
She's something. I don't know. I don't know if she would have been the one that bit them, or like, yeah, maybe she, I don't know. Like, it could be that she's keeping massive secrets from everyone, that she's already in cahoots with the big werewolf. I don't know. She's very strange.
Yeah. What if the werewolf, you know, approached her and they made a deal, and then they're both going out and biting people and trying to bring them together? Maybe he was like, I also want a pack. Let's build a pack together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, somebody could be manipulating her.
Yeah. I could believe it. Though she's very innocent seeming. Like, she seems like shocked by a lot of things. I don't know. It's difficult.
It is. I had a theory. Like, this was really getting my gears turning, because I was kind of under the impression that maybe the monster is the one on the phone. And as much as we were, you know, joking about his little werewolf pockets and stuff like that, maybe he had a phone stash nearby. Maybe he can change in and out of the werewolf, you know, monster thing, like, fairly easily. So he did take a break to call them to make sure that, like, they didn't leave the house or something. But if that is the case, and the monster is the one that was on the phone, who's the it that it's warning them against? And my mind immediately went to Kristen Ramsay, because we were told that, like, she is kind of the mystery of the show. And the fact that she's so closely listening to them, the fact that I feel like she's a very empathetic character, where, like, you immediately like her, even though she is technically working against the kids, like, she has the authority to get them in trouble. I'm very, like, drawn to her already. And I was like, well, that would be a good trick if she ended up being the bad guy. And it made me wonder if she's either a werewolf hunter that, who knows, like, oh, I have to kill them before the full moon, because if I don't, they'll just get stronger, or something like that. Or she's another kind of monster that's even worse.
I don't know, Karen. What if she's the main werewolf and the it is someone else?
Also possible.
She'd have to get around a lot, especially if she knew to come after. I mean, maybe the werewolf was just hanging around the Harlan and Luna's house because it wanted to be close to them, but, like, someone who followed Miller out there, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, maybe she knew, she got a sense of, like, what he was gonna do. Yeah, he was up to, and then decided to follow him and then just straight up murdered him. Like, I mean, I guess if she's, you know, also a monster of sorts, it's probably not out of her range, but,
you know, if she had reason to be really angry at his behavior.
Right. Yeah. Which would be so interesting, because she seems so patient and so level-headed. And
in
I
her
wonder
day if job, of, this right, is her right. hobby.
No, I know. But I wonder, you know, if that's part of the reason why she's able to stay so patient, because she knows she can haul off and kill anybody anytime she wants to. Like, oh, this is no big deal. If he annoys me again, I'll just stalk him and squish his head against a tree.
Yeah, I think that seems fair.
Yeah. I'm very curious about next week. And again, we'll get to this in a second, but, like, we see her with Austin and all of those werewolf drawings. And you know that, like, I'm very excited for next week, because I'm thinking we're going to get a little bit more of this. So I can't wait to watch that.
But yeah, I feel like maybe we're going to learn about Austin's experience getting dragged in the smoke, and maybe he's turned into a bit of a style sort of conspiracy theorist since then. Like, he's like, what the fuck happened to me? And he's been doing this.
Yeah. But the end of this episode has Garrett coming home. Everybody's pretty much safe. you know, they're a little shaken up, but everybody's waiting for him in the living room. And Harlan just has that rifle by his side. And I thought this was a really good scene where it was like, even though I kind of knew what was going to be said, the question and yes, question, yes, like every time was like full of suspense. And we find out that Garrett pretty much admits to making the silver bullets in case he had to kill his kids.
I would have not admitted to this. I would have said in case another bad werewolf comes to hurt you. I would have just, that last question, he should have lied.
See, I feel the complete opposite because, like, of course he did. That's the smartest thing that he could have done. His children are werewolves. Yes, he loves them, but he doesn't know if when they turn into monsters, they're themselves. He's protecting himself and perhaps, like, other people.
I still would have lied in this position. Like,
I would have been like, yeah, duh. Like, what else did you expect me to do?
The fact that he never told them about, like, nah. And they're like kids. No, I would have lied. I would have been like, nah, I did it to, you know, in case anything ever came for you.
I guess. I don't know. I thought that, you know, Harlan.
Yeah, sure, it's smart of him, but I don't think this is going to be what turns Luna against him. Like,
yeah, that's the thing. Like, I feel like this is going to hurt Luna's feelings so much, whereas I feel like Harlan seems ruthless enough to, like, understand.
I know. I feel like it might feed the, like, you're not my real father, you never really loved me.
Yeah, and especially
I would have lied.
Especially now with two other people in their pack, like, even if Harlan isn't, like, big on the idea of a pack, like, he's found his own people now, so is Luna. Garrett's the outsider at this point, even though he's their father and raised them.
It's not great. Really be better off if they incorporated him into their planning.
Yeah, definitely. Like, they need him to make good decisions for them.
Mm.
But in the preview for next week, we see Austin. We see Kristen questioning him. Already kind of touched on that. We see Luna and the White Horse when she's a kid. And then we see what looks like Harlan attacking Everett in the bathroom. I think maybe all four of them might be there. We definitely see Luna.
Yeah, yeah.
No, he looks like shocked. Well, he looks shocked by, you know, this violence and by his teeth and stuff like that. So do you have any predictions for episode 4 based on this 19-second teaser?
No. So, you know, I think Garrett's going to explain himself more. I don't know if they're really going to accept it. The flashback might be of Luna as a child, might be like Garrett telling them things that they did when they were kids that they don't remember that made them think that they were dangerous, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe she killed a real horse that used to live in their stables.
Maybe. And it's haunting her? It's a horse ghost.
Yeah, I think maybe it could be a horse ghost that's haunting her.
Wow.
Because she attacked this horse and killed it as a child when she was a child.
Yeah.
It could be.
Okay.
The fight? Fucking no idea. Maybe Everett tries to tell them to be nice to their dad.
Maybe.
Be like, you don't appreciate having a nice parent who doesn't slap you in the face.
Yeah.
And Harlan doesn't like that.
Mm. I mean, it could be as simple as that, honestly. But yeah, we'll have to find out. Episode 4, Fear and Pain. That sounds
so fun.
Delightful. It sounds so like it's going to be full of rainbows.
So fun. I love that.
And then this will be the midway point of the series then.
Do you feel like we'll have any big turning points or answers?
I feel like maybe not like actual answers. I kind of feel like that might come a little bit in episode 5 because we'll be a little bit over that edge. But we see Kristen around drawings of werewolves and we're going to get a flashback with Luna. So that tells me that they're going to give us something. I just don't know how much.
Yeah. I don't know either. It's still, like I said, no real answers here.
Yeah. But if you guys have any theories, please message us, email us, whatever, because we are lost, I think, as we're meant to be. But we would really like to hear what you guys have to say about that. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Yeah, next week, more wolf teens. Does yes. the werewolf have pockets? Perhaps we'll find out.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, this is Jeff Davis. You're listening to Not Another Teen Wolf podcast, my favorite podcast in the world.